Well, I got two or three texts on my heart again. I'll settle down and preach a sermon when the time is right. Till then, we'll just splash around. We just splashed around this morning. Kicked around. We'll just splash around some more tonight. I ain't scared. I ain't scared. You? See, it's a joy. Have no pressure to perform. And I don't perform even when there's pressure. I don't know how. I never had to get over religion. I never got under it. That's a true story. I never had to quit a bunch of church stuff and start doing it right. I never had to unlearn any of that. Y'all with me? It's just a blessing to be with like-minded brethren. And there's only two or three left in America. And I ain't going to perform no how, no where. But it's a blessing to be somewhere they don't expect you to. Yeah. We're going to splash around some more. I don't know when we'll get to an actual message. But I got a feeling the Holy Ghost is already preaching to a lot of hearts. You're going to see this suit until I brought all my suit coats and all my suit coat pants are at the house. I really hope y'all like blue. I hope you like this particular shade of blue. I've been in three meetings lately all at the same time, and I just ended up putting all my coats on one hanger, and I thought my breeches were on them. I believe in wearing pants to church. So I can't wear none of them coats until my secretary expresses my breeches to me. I hope y'all like this suit for a while. Now, I was thinking somebody, you don't know me well enough for me to cut up just yet. If I knowed you better, I'd say somebody could buy me a suit, but I don't know you well enough yet to bring that up. So I'm Amen. I am interested in the 10th chapter of Hebrews. Now the Lord's burdened my heart with several messages, but we'll preach them when the time comes. I just feel like exhorting out of the scriptures a little bit more. Amen. Thank the Lord. I just want to splash around in these scriptures, show you one thing, see what the Lord does. I'm interested it's a rare jewel, find a church trying to actually have church. That don't happen. And so that's why I'm starting slow in this meeting, because I'd like to go to where the Lord wants to go. And I ain't going to run out in front of it. And then ask him to come where I think we're going. I'm going to wait on him, figure out where he's going, and we'll fall in behind him. Amen. Felt me a happy bubble right there. That redheaded girl had a whole case of them up here a while ago. She was popping them. I don't know if she's redheaded, but she's red-faced. I've lost her, but the Lord ain't lost her. She's red-faced. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, I like that John 17 business, where you at? man told me this Friday in the meeting, a fellow preacher. He looked at me. He said, I've been studying John. I thought this was amazing because I've been meditating on this all this weekend. And when I got here, he texted me in all caps. He even texts loud and big. I didn't know you could be big and loud when you text, but he's pulled it off somehow. But right before church this morning, told me about John 17, having the power to finish. And a fellow preacher of mine in North Georgia looked at me Friday and said, let me give you this. I've been studying. John 13, y'all know those precious chapters, John 13 through 17. That last night and nights right before he went to Calvary. And doesn't John have a different perspective? John said, in the beginning was. Moses stood in the beginning, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, and he looked forward into time. God created. But John stood in the beginning and said, in the beginning, and he's interested in what was behind. He said, was. Four of y'all got that. Don't you appreciate what John had to say? He had an eternal perspective. Moses got to stand in the beginning. Wowee. Wouldn't you like to have stood there and watched him create? I wish I had somebody. Moses is the only fellow ever got to see it. The only man got to see it. In the beginning, God created. Didn't tell you how, why, when, or where. Just said he did. I believe it's 24-hour literal days. In the beginning, Moses got to look at creation. But John stood in the beginning and wondered what was behind him. And he turned around, and if Moses stood in the beginning and looked at creation, John stood in the beginning and looked at Christ.
Amen.
In the beginning, said, wonder what was. And he looked right at the Word. Eternity past was slammed full of Jesus. The Word. Wow. What reckon that has anything to do, I don't know, with John being the only preacher that ever saw Calvary? Well, all, Brother Seth, with all the Old Testament prophets looked forward to the cross, none of them saw it happen. All the New Testament preachers, me and your daddy, and 10 million more, have looked back at the cross. John's the only one that saw it. Ooh-wee. That ought to give you a happy bubble the size of a redneck belt buckle. And I've seen a bunch of them around here, too. One fella showed me his belt buckle, and a small family had moved on to it and was living back behind there. Just come to, anyway. Hallelujah! So you got to love John. I'm splashing around. We'll preach a message when it's time. And you know, Brother Buchanan, John was the only spiritual preacher Jesus had before they got filled with the Holy Ghost. After they got filled with the Holy Ghost, in John 20, he breathed on them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. That's the indwelling. Then you turn your page to Acts 2, and there's the ondwelling. Oh, yeah, you can't talk about that with most of our Baptist brethren. They get all spookity-dust scary on you. Them boys had the indwelling before they had their own dwelling. Old John. He's the only spiritual one Jesus had before they got filled with the Holy Ghost. He showed up at Calvary because he wanted to. You quit blaming all this stuff on everybody and everything. You do what you want. Y'all been watching Dr. Phil and Oprah Winfrey blaming everything on everybody. You ain't going to do no business with God till you say, it's me, O Lord, it's me. I'm a standing in the need of prayer. Take my brother, take my sister. It ain't my mama, it ain't my daddy, it ain't my nation, it ain't my environment, it ain't my wife. It ain't my boss, it ain't my children, it ain't my neighborhood. And it ain't my current financial standing. That's my problem. It's me. Isaiah said, woe is them. How many times? In chapter 5. Woe unto them. How many times? In Isaiah 5. Over a dozen, I know over 10 times. But when he got to chapter 6, and his leper king died, and he saw his Lord king, in the year that King Uzziah died, died of leprosy. His earthly leper king died, and he is able to see that heavenly glorious king. Until some of y'all's earthly kings, sinful, die and get out of the way, you ain't going to see the Lord on his throne. Y'all ain't going to see the Lord. Some of you, you got your king on the throne. He's going to have to die. Then you can see the Lord. And then you won't holler about woe unto them. And he was correct about all that. That was good preaching in chapter 5. But he had revival in chapter 6. Woe is me. Woe is me. What about that? Well, I could move on. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, I didn't finish my thought. John, I was supposed to tell y'all this. John 13. He told them how to love. He got down there and washed the feet, even of Judas. I wish I had somebody. You know the only thing you get under a serpent is a worm. Y'all got to help me right there. He was heading to Calvary and he was becoming that worm. But I am a worm and no. John 6, he knew he was a devil from the beginning. That very night, that very occasion, Satan entered into him, and he got under him.
Right.
Y'all ain't helping me. He got under his foot. Woo! He was becoming a worm. Only a worm get under a serpent. He was teaching them how to love.
Yes, sir.
I heard Joe Parsons and then another mentor of mine said, all of y'all think you ain't going to get nothing done until you got to run the devil out. Said, you ain't going to get nowhere until you learn to live with your devil. Jesus lived with his Judas. Paul lived with his thorn, and it wasn't bad eyes. Please, somebody had to go to college to get that brilliant. Bad eyesight. Everybody in over 40 would have that same thorn if that was the situation. And half of you under 40. It was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. He said, Lord, take this devil out. And God said, I'm going to stuck him in you. You've had so much of heaven, I got to give you a little bit of hell. I'm not using that as slang. You've had so much of heaven, I've had to give you a good bit of hell just to keep you safe from your pride.
Right.
learning to live with your devil. You're all the world trying. Most of your prayers telling God what to do with your problems, and He's the one who gave you that problem. You think He's actually going to say, "Oh, you got a problem? Oh, let's help you get rid of it." Oh! He's the one that gave it to you. He ain't worried about your problem. Your problem's not your problem. Your pride's your problem. And He gave you that problem so pride wouldn't be your problem. And our prayerlessness is our problem. And He gave you that problem. I'm just splashing around. Man told me this Friday, and then when you said, and you've been in Johnson, so I had to tell you. I'm supposed to tell you. I'm telling you. John 13, He told them how to love. Is that right? And He even gave them a new commandment. Is it verse 33, 34 of John 13? A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I've loved you. And old Apostle John, the only one they couldn't kill, by the way. He's an old man writing 1 John. Y'all ain't helping me. Huh, I wonder if there's a connection. The one that showed up at the cross was the one they couldn't kill. You can't kill people who done been to the cross. You boil them in oil. They like oil. They say, pour it on me. But it's hot oil. The hotter the better. Woo! I think I signed my own Bible, Pastor. I'm just feeling so good. Amen. Just to remember one night it actually sounded like preaching. I sure am glad He simplified things. I don't know what y'all are doing in Hebrews 10. Y'all to be in John 13. I mean, that's where I'm at. What are y'all doing in Hebrews 10? You're supposed to figure this stuff out as we go along. I'm staying in Hebrews 10 just in case we come back. What verse is it? A new commandment I give unto you. Alright, you see it in verse 34? And then old John, who they couldn't kill, repeated that in 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. He's going to remind you of the new commandment that He gave us from the beginning. That was, hey, y'all, I sure am glad He simplified this thing. I was having a hard time tying all that law together. Plowing with a donkey and an ox and getting your wool and cotton and all that was... I was getting what I had to do to please the Lord. I'm glad that lawyer asked him. What to the greatest of all the commandments, the greatest of all, you know, some smart aleck lawyer. They were goofy back then, wasn't they? Amen. You're probably your best church member's a lawyer. That beat my life. I got a man today. Lawyer asked him, which of the commandments? Jesus said, hey, bud. That's in the original Greek. Hey, bud. He said, you can hang all, now this is amazing. You can hang all the law and all the prophets on two things. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and body. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay, that simplified it for me. But he knew in the church age, get real singular, and he brought her down from 2 to 1. Church, he said, here's your commandment. See, that was the men in general. The 613 laws of Moses. Feller was wanting to fuss about it. Jesus said, psh, psh, love God with everything you got and love your neighbor like yourself. That's what all that was about.
Right.
But he looked at us and said, "Do you love one another as I have loved you?" And I'm going to tell you this. I shouldn't even say this. Pastor Buchanan will have to explain this for a month. Sorry. But I'm going to say it anyway. I swanny, I know who some people are saved. He said, "We know that we've passed from death into life because we love the brethren." I know who some of the brethren are. You there anybody say that? Hey, I know you're saved. You just ain't there. Right now. I fixed to sign my own Bible again, right there. Just call it. I'm leaving my pen out. I know you're saved. I ain't never seen you. I know you're saved. I know you're saved. Now let me qualify all this before he has to stop the meeting. I can't look out there and tell everybody who's lost and everybody who's saved. I just know when I see the love of God and the power of God on some of my brethren, some of them I know, hey, glory to God. You're my brother and I love you. Don't come up to me tonight and say, "Am I saved?" Because I don't know. You asking me, I think, probably not. You know, nah. I'm voting this way with you. I don't know. No, I don't. And that's not what I'm saying. Please don't misunderstand. But we love the brethren. Amen. You got to know who they are if you're in love with them. Amen. I know when I'm with a brother. Told him how to love. John 14. He told him how to leave. Amen. He said, "I'm going somewhere and y'all are coming later. But I'm going to come get you." Amen. How are we going to get there? I'm the way. In my Father's house are many mansions. Everybody fussing about them mansions. What a house. That would have all them mansions in it. I personally believe this is me. Your pastor might show you something even better. I believe that New Jerusalem is 1,500 by 1,500. 12 gates. I believe there's 12 levels. 1,500 miles. 12 goes into 1,500. Each one would have over 100 mile ceiling. Just stack 12 high. Somebody do math, 12 into 1,500. Where's old Red? Yep. Yeah. Them gates are made of pearl. That's a mighty big oyster. Come and ask one pearl. You know that pearl represents suffering. God lets that little bit of sand wound, hurt, and irritate that little, and it'll secrete a special little oil. If you want a pearl, you can't get rid of your sand particle. You just put oil on it. Takes a long time. There y'all arguing, trying to get rid of your problems. God just wants to put some precious oil in that little shell where you're living. I don't know if it's Vance Havner or who it was, preacher. But one of them boys said that the gates to that city are pearl. You come through suffering.
Right.
To get in. Acts something or another, chapter 14, I think, or 13. Read Acts, you'll find it. "And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." And he showed Paul. Now, we're not talking about suffering to get saved. Jesus suffered so you could get saved. But honey, when you come through the cross, you turn around and he gives you a cross. What did he say over there in Acts 9, Pastor? When he saved Paul, so "I will show him how great things," getting that apostle to the Gentiles, the apostle to the Gentiles, I will show him how great things he must enjoy. I need some Bible readers to help me. I show him how great things he must become. Starts with S if you want it. How great things he must suffer. Greatness and suffering locked up hand in hand with God. I'm just splashing around on this Sunday. Old Testament blessing was prosperity. These TV preachers on your worship, quote unquote, channels are preaching prosperity. They're in the wrong dispensation, wrong promises, wrong principles, for the wrong kingdom. The Jewish kingdom was literal, physical, and visible. And when God blessed them Jews, it was literal blessings, physical, visible blessings. Gave them children, camels, herd, flocks, and great friends, and great wealth. But the church age is a spiritual kingdom. And if he wants to bless you now, he gives you spiritual blessings. And he's got to hack off all this old evil material stuff to get you down to the spirit of it. New Testament blessing is suffering.
That's right.
If he blesses you in the New Testament, he pours out the spirit of glory and the spirit of grace and the spirit of God and the spirit of goodness upon you.
Amen.
And the only way he can do that is run a spear through your side.
Amen.
It's like he done Jesus. To get you empty of everything in you. Y'all ain't helping me. He got to empty you of what you're full of. And then he's going to pour in that grace. Pour in that. The deeper the wound, the deeper the grace goes. The wider the wound, the more grace he can pour in. Woo! He wants you full of him. And he's got to cut through your flesh to get to your spirit. He don't give us fleshly blessings. I didn't want to confuse anybody this morning. Glad the Holy Ghost brought it up again right now. Barrenness, a barren woman in the Old Testament was a curse. Because that was that physical blessing. Great with child and have baby. But in the New Testament, a barrenness is not a curse, it's a blessing.
Yes, sir.
Nothing cuts through a woman's heart like an empty womb. And girls, anywhere he's creating an empty place, he's a wanting to fill it. Not with something natural that everybody else has, but with something supernatural. I'm about to run, almost ran right by you. Right, if you'd seen something went by, that would have been me. A blue blur. Get used to the blue for a while. Get used to this shirt. I hope you like yellow. When he creates an empty place.
Yep.
The only reason God ever does an empty work in the church is he wants to do an eternal work. If there's an empty place in your heart, in your head, in your home, in your life, something there that everybody else has and he doesn't let you have it. He's wanting to move in and he's just making space for himself. He's making some space. Anybody's bank account empty? He's wanting to show you some amazing things. It's so good around here I can't preach none of my sermons. I can't preach the verse I was trying to preach. How good is that? Do you ever know that? Y'all remember? It's amazing. Tax time. Jesus, none of his disciples could come up with one coin. Don't tell me, TV preacher, that they was all running around rich. It's time to pay taxes, 12 men and their pastor. Nobody come up with one coin. You said this morning that it went to the blood bank of heaven. Now they're going to go to the river bank for some money. I almost went right by you right there. Did you notice? Now, preacher, friend, Brother Buchanan is my new BFF. That's amazing that he put that not having any money story. Remember, and they went down, put a hook in the sea, fish, coin in the mouth. You know where that chapter, you know what chapter he put that in? Matthew 17. Somebody tell me what happened there. The Mount of Transfiguration. Ho, 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 way, what's that? At the beginning of the chapter, the Son of God and all of heaven's glory and all of heaven's goodness shining out of him.
Right.
Man didn't have a coin on him. But he had all the riches of glory. Y'all ain't helping me. Somebody go long. God put in the very chapter where he showed that he had everything heaven and God ever had. God let you know in the same chapter that 13 of them didn't have one coin. Just wanted to reassure some of you that are faithful to go, faithful to give, faithful to serve God, and you can't even hardly pay your bill. Just wanted you to know. Ain't nothing wrong with you. You're right on track. Revelation 7 letters. Only church that was wealthy. Number 7, let us see you. Only church that was wealthy. He told them they were poor. And the only church that was poor. Number 2, Smyrna. For I know thy poverty. Watch out, here comes a parenthesis. But thou art rich. The only church didn't have money. He told them they were rich. I'm going to believe God. If I ain't got no money and he said I'm rich, I'm going to tell everybody I know how rich I am. Did y'all ever connect that? The beginning of Matthew 17, all of heaven and all of God. The most glorious moments in the Savior's earthly life. And before the chapter is done, they couldn't even pay a bill. And he taught them to do what the church is supposed to do when you ain't got no money. You go down to the sea. That's the nations of peoples. You go fishing. You go after sinners. We don't go after money. We go after souls. That's why this place is full of souls. You got a preacher who cares about souls. I'm not talking about that old, you know, the soul winning, you know, that crowd. 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. And everybody be so happy and all that. No, no. No, them people don't actually care about souls. Some of them are sincere, but they're deceived. The reason this place is full of souls is because you got a man. And I ain't trying to glorify him. He's flesh and I'm flesh. But you got a man that cares about, and that's why souls are in here. As you go down to the sea and you drop the hook in, and you pull up a fish, and you'll be able to pay your bills. If you go after, you go down to the nations and you go after fishers of men, you go after souls, he'll pay the bills.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. I would sign my own Bible, but it's full. It's just, I've signed everywhere you could. It's already. John 14 told them how to leave. John 13 told them how to love. Now, I love John 15. I'm the true vine. Abide in me and I in you. Without me, you can't do nothing. Fruit. More fruit. Much fruit. fruit that remains. You know what all that's about, life. In John 13, he told them how to love. John 14, he told them how to leave. In John 15, he told them how to live.
Amen.
I think I'm going to come over there where y'all are at. I have no idea why I'm in Hebrews 10. Why don't I go to John 15? There's your fruits. Verse 2, John 15, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh, there's not fruit. And then every branch that beareth fruit, there's fruit. He purgeth that it may bring forth more fruit, there's more fruit. And then in verse 3, you get clean. Now how do you go from not fruit to fruit to more fruit? And over in verse 5 is much fruit. And then much fruit, can it get any better? Yes, fruit that remains. Verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Now you should, and he spoke that to his disciples, his preachers. Don't ever let some fella take that and try to prove some false doctrine to you. Now you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Now, 45 seconds on eternal salvation, all right? 45 seconds. Some people take this text and try to tell you that you can lose your salvation. And we're just going to spend 40 seconds on it. Number one, I can't lose it. I ain't got it. I don't have Jesus. Jesus has me. Thank you very much. But in verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them, cast them in the fire, and they're burned. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And I said, see, there, you can lose your salvation. Well, there's only one difference. Verse 2, the branch is in Christ. Verse 6, the branch ain't. Verse 6, it says, if a man, he ain't a branch. Verse 2, every branch in me. I used to be a natural man. Now I'm a branch on the vine. Guys, the sap's running through me. Every branch in me, that's a saved fellow. Verse 6, if a man, that's just a man, lost without Christ, and abide not in me, not in me. That's a man, and he's not in me. He is cast forth. Next word, please. He is cast forth as a branch. He ain't a branch.
That's right. You tell it.
He's a pretend. He's an as a branch. He ain't a branch. That fellow in verse 2 is a branch. He's been grafted in. He's been plugged in. He's stuck in. He's in Christ, coming out of Christ. Great. Hang on. That fellow there is a man, and he ain't a branch, and he's going in the fire. Yes, sir. That was 45 seconds up. Verse 2. And say, every branch in me, if you're grafted into him, you're a branch, you're in him, and you're not bearing fruit, it's your fault. A stubbornness, self-will, willful disobedience going on right there. He'll take you away. Ain't no talk about no fire.
No, sir.
Not in verse 2. That was me, just almost went by you. That other fella, he ain't a branch. He's in the fire. I'm so glad that he'll take me away. Three things God will do. If you're a child of God, you're a branch, and you got something shutting down the sap flow, he'll take you away. My daddy used to. He'd grab a hold. There's six of us kids. James Dobson came along in the 70s and 80s. Too late for me. Psychology. hold hands, family group, time out. Nope. We got in a group. Daddy took the time out. Not to hold hands, but he said, hold your ankles. That's what, and I could in those days. Amen. You may have to hold it now, son. I barely hold my knee. Actually feels pretty good. But he'd take me away for a little while. Behind the woodshed. In the back bedroom. Can I tell you something real personal? Y'all don't tell nobody else. This is real personal. Embarrasses me to tell you, but the Lord wants me to tell you. My boy is 9. I'm 43. I know y'all been thinking all day that man's probably just 32, the shape that he's in. But the shapes that he's in. But I'm 43. Me and my wife, precious bride, Jennifer, we went years, couldn't have children. And then God touched us. And we got a little boy, he's 9. My girls are 7 and 4. And I look all over America, and I've even looked over your church, and it turns out, and my kids are prettier than everybody else's. And I know it's Mother's Day, and you're going to think whatever you want to think, but mine are, and that's true. But I take my little boy, and I love him enough, and I'm not going to turn him over to himself and over to Satan. Now, I don't have the energy to whoop him half the time. You're supposed to have kids when you're 21. You like get mad at them and beat them. That's what they need. If you're 41, you're like, hey, kid, quit. Bring me a Diet Coke. Quit whatever you're doing. Quit getting on your mama's nerves. Can I get a witness in here? I mean, y'all pray for my youngins. They need a good daddy. And then, like, when you're 22 and you want to do right, you beat them. But when you're 42, you're like, I mean, come here, kid. Now, we don't do that, okay? Get Daddy a Diet Coke. Y'all pray for my youngins. They need it. I'm praying somebody whoops them. I take my little boy. If he was here, I wouldn't tell this. I wouldn't embarrass him. And you're looking at one evangelist that ain't going to make his kids perform for nobody. No. We want all of our kids to be great Christians. They ain't even saved yet. How goofy is that? We're all full grown, can't hardly figure it out. And we want the teenagers to have it figured out. Got a little place in his bedroom with the bed. And when I have to do business with him, I take him in there. And I had something terrible happen about 2 years ago. I can't tell you about it. Phone call. And there wasn't nowhere else to go, and I run through that house. And they was all going to run in his bedroom. Closed that door and fell on that spot to pray. Right there where I make him kneel. I was kneeling. And the Holy Ghost said, that phone call, you're whooping. I'm glad he'll take us away to the back bedroom. And if you respond right to that, you can come out a little bit later in fellowship with your father. Get right with the rest of the family. Live good for a week or two. He'll take you away to the woodshed. Now, if you want to be stubborn and consistently, deliberately disobedient for an extended period of time, and you don't respond to the woodsheds, he'll put you in a shelf. He'll take you away to the shelf. Shipwreck. And as God has been known to take some third to a shallow grave. But if you belong to him, every branch of me that beareth not fruit, going to take you away for a little while. Amen. Woodshed, And I got news for you. He wants you to be right. He don't want to punish you. He's wanting to parent you. I'm going to make a statement. I hope Brother Buchanan comes with me on this. If you're saved, God ain't never going to punish you for your sin. He can't. He'd be unjust. He already punished Jesus for your sins. He's a double jeopardy God. He ain't going to pay for it twice. God ain't going to punish you for sin. God's going to parent you. That whipping, you think that whipping is punishment with a capital P. But he ain't punishing you for your sin. He's parenting you. It ain't a sin when you belong to him. They come to, it ain't a sin he's dealing with. It's a son he's dealing with. He already took your sins to Calvary. Hey, brother, he burned them up in the fire of his holy wrath. And they're dissolved in blood. Amen. We're not a bearing fruit. He ain't taking, he ain't over there dealing with you in that bed. I'm in there with my little boy. I am not measuring out the exact just due for his sin. I'm not dealing with a sin in there. I'm dealing with my son in there. And we got to get that sin out of him and off of him. So it won't mess his life up. But it ain't a sin I'm mad at. It's a son that I'm concerned about. I hope that makes sense. And then how does he get it away to fruit? And every branch that beareth fruit. Well, the only thing between not fruit and fruit is taken away business. I got my Bible. Y'all got yours? It's right there. That's how you go from not fruit to fruit. A little taken away experience. What's between fruit and more fruit? And every branch that bears fruit, he what? Purgeth. Wow. There's purging. Between fruit and more fruit. I ain't got to preach that. Y'all can see that. He'll come in there and hack you down to nothing. When he wants to, when God wants to multiply you, he'll divide you. Every time. He is a mathematical God. And when he wants to multiply you, he'll divide you. That was almost me. You felt that breeze? That was me going by you. I mean, I didn't, but I almost did. Jennifer's got a rose bush out in the front yard, and she said, man, it didn't do too good. I said, bring me some scissors, some shearing scissors. You're going to hurt my rose. She don't know nothing about it. I know a little more than her. She knows nothing. I know a little more than nothing, just barely. I took him scissors. It was the little old ugly, scraggly, thorny-looking, naked thing. She said, what have you done to my rose bush? I said, hush, woman, I didn't know. I didn't either. That's when I'm out of town, she ain't with me. I said, just trust me. Just trust me. I used to work for Wiley Walls Landscaping. Worked my way through high school and college. Man, put in every yard for every commercial building and subdivision. I said, baby, I know more about this than you. Just trust me. She said, you've hacked it down to nothing. I said, exactly. We stood out there Saturday and looked at it. It's full like this. Shoots everywhere. Do you even call it a shoot? I don't know. Stem, thorn. Fat, beautiful roses all over it. 25 little buds waiting to come out. God will come by and hack you down to nothing. You ugly, naked, and thorny. And everybody that loves you say, what in the world have they done to you? And the husband said, just trust me. That's how you go from fruit to more fruit. Now, Pastor, if I'm feeling it right, that's where y'all are. at 10,000 churches in North Carolina, just probably in your county, that's not fruit. He done took them away. They're not even having church, and they don't know it. That don't make us better than them. It just makes us better off. Let's don't be ugly. But we ain't no better than none of them. But the 10,000 churches out there dead, deserted, Ichabod, not fruit. And I've been around some churches with fruit, but y'all are way past fruit. Y'all are at more fruit. Took 20 years to get there, it seems like. And I think you're somewhere between more fruit and much fruit. I may be wrong. How do you get on to much fruit? See, that's all you're ever going to do for him. That's when you're glorifying the Father. Let's see. Verse 8. You see much fruit in verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth. There it is. Much fruit! New Bible. For without me, you can do nothing. Verse 7, that's when you glorify him. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you wish shall be done to you. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. That's when you're being what he meant you to be. That's when the Father's glorified, when there's much fruit. Only thing better than that is keeping it. Your fruit remaining. Y'all are between more fruit and much fruit. Very few churches and Christians get to more fruit. Y'all are on a journey from more fruit to much fruit. What's between? Wow! More fruit's at the end of verse 2. Much fruit's at the end of verse 5. Did you see how quickly you went through them first three? They're all in one verse. Y'all ain't helping me. They're all in one verse. Not fruit, fruit, more fruit. You can get through them three pretty quick. All in one verse. Wow, a lot of substance between more fruit and much fruit. What's between there? Verse 3. Now you're clean through the word. Oh my. Somebody's got to hear the word. Somebody's got to have the word. The word's got to be working on somebody. Amen. To go from more fruit to much fruit, it's going to take you out. If that book is just rules and regulations, you have no idea what God's about. That book's relationship and romance and reality and a lot of restrictions, but a lot of revelations. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, said abide in Adam, or in you, said you abide in me. That abiding. He's camping out. Clean through the word. Abiding in him. I'm the vine, you're the branch, he's abiding me and I in him. Same rain for much fruit, not me, you can't do nothing. Letting that sap flow. There's a process, a man told me. He gave me the big scientific word for it. I can find it for you and bring it to you. I can't pull it off the top of my head. Do you know when the sap runs in springtime and grapes start coming out in the end? Did you know that inside that branch it has to die? There are little cells that are fat and full. But they have to die and be empty. They go and that thing opens up on the inside. So the sap can run through it. And you're either full of yourself or you're full of your spirit. You're full of self or you're full of sap. And that is a common fact to the husbandry men. And there's even a name for that. That branch on the inside of it, all the cells have to die and they go hollow. And it allows the sap to run through it. And big fat grapes coming out.
Amen.
Can I say something while I'm just splashing around the deep end? Help me with this. Preacher Buchanan, them grapes of Escal were big as basketballs, took two men to carry one cluster. But 40 years later, when they got there, they were normal size. You better get in when you're supposed to get in. Or you'll miss out on what would have been. It's never again mentioned being that big. They're spoken of as normal. Help me with that, and we'll study that and make sure that's right. Y'all look here. I got to be careful. You can't hardly use illustrations anymore, real life things, because the internet, everything goes everywhere. There's a man I pastored. I pastored one church in the 90s from age 21 to age 29. I had no idea what I was doing. God sent a decade to a great measure, to a good measure of revival. I'm going to be honest in this, by the mercy of God. I ain't had to talk about revival much. I've had my own.
Amen.
I'd rather tell you about mine than somebody's 200 years ago. Theirs excites me, but mine just thrills me. And there wasn't a revival that shook a continent like some of the older ones. But there was a man stood right there in the midst, the very heart of that all them years. And every time he got a chance, he stood with rebels and reprobates. And he is torn between two. Stood by me the other night, 50-something years old now. In his 30s, God took him up to the Jordan. Looked over at them fat grapes, milk and honey dripping on every corner. The other night he got down in the sawdust with me. Wept and ironed, would not be consoled. And he said, I'm getting close to the end and I've wasted it all. And he's trying to get in now. Them grapes are miniature. Honey, if he's a passing by and is showing you, I don't even know the name of this church. What's the name of this church? Yeah, I don't even care. I know the church. Oh, yeah. You can have a name and be nothing. New beginning, flock of God. If he's right, and I think he is, but God's got y'all on the threshold. He laid a foundation 20 years. Joe Parsons said that's how much long it takes. And you're looking at much fruit fixing to fall all around you. The devil's going to be talking to y'all individually, trying to talk you out of what's going to happen to them. But you need to be in the them.
Amen.
And you don't need to 25 years from now be crawling around on the floor with seven devils of depression knowing that your grapes are tiny now. But back there in 2013 when the Holy Ghost was trying to take us in the Jordan, that liquid grave, the death, burial, and resurrection to come up on the other side with a mantle and a dove and a cloud falling on you. To get grapes so big it'd take two of y'all, carry one cluster. One old boy said the Old Testament boys were reaching forward and getting a grape, and the New Testament boys were reaching back. It was a picture of men carrying the cross. Two of them. One are reaching back for the blood and one are reaching forward for the blood. That ain't got nothing to do with what I'm talking about now, but that's good, ain't it? That right there.
Yes.
Much fruit. Can't be full of yourself if you're going to be full of the Spirit.
Amen.
What about that? Say this. I think I need to wind her down. John 16, he told them how to learn. I'm going to send you the Spirit of truth. He'll guide you into all truth. Okay? John 17, he told them how to last.
Amen.
He prayed for them to be kept and to finish. He showed them how he finished and prayed for them to finish well. See, John 16, how to learn. John 17, how to last. Now, I'm still talking about grapes. Didn't want to leave y'all hanging because I ain't coming back to that. Say this and I'm done. Who's going to make the music? I just need the organ, just the player. Slip on up here. Could you softly, softly play, sister? Played that harp, and them devils left Saul alone. I believe in that. Lashes called for the minstrel. Play them harp strings that you can hear from God. I believe in that. Can't be full of yourself and full of sap. Turn me up right here, boys. Let me talk for a minute. You know when somebody gets drunk and beats their wife, they say, boy, you're acting like the devil. You know when somebody runs through town half naked and shoots it up and robs the bank? Well, you're acting like the devil. Actually, you're not. You know what the devil did? He stood in the presence of God and thought too much of himself to give God the glory and the worship.
Right.
When you're in church, in the presence of God, and think too much of yourself to give Him all of His glory and all of His praise and all His worship, that's when you're acting like the devil. I go to church every Sunday and most people act just like Lucifer. They're in His presence and full of their self. Stay there an hour or two and never even thank Him. Never praise Him. I like all that praying on purpose and shouting on purpose. Y'all have done that. That's right. I bet everyone around there gets so good. You don't even wait on Him to prompt you. You just go right on to it. That's even better. False scripture. I hope I don't sound like a smart aleck, but I didn't allow mine to have no dead services. I didn't mean that to come across ugly. It took him 3 hours to go out in the darkness and bring us back. I can't go in and stand in front of him and act like it's not a big deal.
Hallelujah.
I gotta thank him. I've gotta praise him. I've gotta love him. I gotta say glory. Worthy. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. And it ain't to impress you. It ain't trying to prove a point to nobody. It's just it took him 3 hours to go out there and get us. I ought to be able to come and thank him. Praise him. You ain't ever going to let the Holy Ghost flow through your Christian life and flow through this church body as long as you're alive and well on the inside and blocking the sap. Blocking the spirit. Brother Seth, you looking at big fat, great, big fat grapes, son. Oh, how tragic you throw away the next 20 years, come staggering back in here as a 40-year-old and reach back there and get a little old grape. but to the rest of you. Big old fat grapes. But you've got to go down that liquid grave and let him bury you. Kill you. How to love. How to leave. I sure am glad I know how to leave this old world. Ooh wee. One of these soon days I'll be leaving this world. He told me how that's going to work. Woo! I've been watching them old saints leave. Taking notes. He said, I'm a going and you're coming. That's enough. That'll be enough. He gave us more details than that, but that would have been enough. Just to know that he was going somewhere and I was coming along in a little while. What about that? Well, that's what we splashed around in tonight.